Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1970. The topic is nutrition, and the title is, Are Specific Food Choices Holding You Back? Here are some statements that I've heard, either said or actually read as like the title of YouTube videos or podcasts this week. One was, processed foods make you fat. Another statement was, these five foods will lower your testosterone. And a third statement was, avoid these foods if you really want to build muscle. So those were statements that I came across this week. And it prompted me to make today's podcast. And I kind of want to put food choice in its place. So when you think of losing body fat, gaining muscle mass, increasing strength, improving blood markers, trying to increase longevity, whatever your goal, nutrition is likely a significant part of that process. You may also have supplements, forms of exercise you're doing. So for example, if you want to build muscle, you can eat a perfect muscle-building diet, but you still need to lift weights to stimulate new muscle creation. So in all those goals, nutrition alone isn't the full answer. But when we do look at nutrition and we consider what has a significant impact, food choice, it does matter. But it doesn't matter as much as people think. So let's look at some examples. Processed foods make you fat. Sure, they can, but they also cannot. Meaning just the simple act of eating processed foods doesn't automatically make you gain body fat. Avoiding or reducing processed foods can be a tactic towards fat loss because processed foods tend to be easy to overconsume, meaning they're easy to eat an amount of that food that is greater than the calories we need at the time we're eating that food. So for example, if you're sitting for an extended period of time, let's say you have to sit for 4 hours at a time, or maybe you're sitting at work for 8 hours at a time, and you're an hour or two or three into that process, you get up from your desk, you're kind of a little, stir crazy. So you get up, you move around, and as you're walking around the office, you look and you see there's free donuts sitting out. So you think to yourself, ooh, one or two wouldn't hurt. So you snag two of them, you take them back to your desk, and you eat them during your next stretch of work. Well, depending on the type of donut, you have just consumed roughly about 400 to 600 calories, and you probably didn't even register those calories. Meaning, as soon as you sat down, you started to answer an email or open another project, and the donuts were gone. You ate the two donuts, and you probably went back to reach for the donut, and you're like, holy crap, I already ate both of those? Yes, you just did. So we tend to eat processed foods easily and quickly. And although they contain calories, it's often not very filling because it's a lot of calories, but not a lot of size of food. You can think of how small two donuts are compared to 600 calories. That's a lot of calories for a small amount of size. And we tend to process, we tend to process processed foods. We tend to digest processed foods very quickly. So we're hungry sooner after eating those. Whereas if I were to eat, chicken breast and brown rice for 600 calories, I'm going to be pretty full for a while, and that'll have taken a lot longer than it would to just eat two donuts. So you might now think, did those donuts make you fat? I just ate two donuts, 600 calories, didn't even register it. Oh my gosh, I've ruined the entire day. I am a loser and a failure. That's often the narrative we kind of tell ourselves. Well, did they make you fat? It depends. If you skipped breakfast and maybe you opted for just a coffee with a little bit of creamer and you were out the door, you may have already been awake for 4 to 5 hours and maybe consumed less than 100 calories. So 600 calories at that time isn't actually going to hurt you very much because you're already in a caloric deficit. It might actually just bring you up to the calories that you've already used in the day. But maybe on most days, you have a chicken salad for lunch. That's kind of your normal routine at the office. So that's around 400 calories. You often have a snack in the afternoon to avoid the afternoon slump. Depending on what's around, that's usually 200 to 300 calories. Maybe a little granola bar, protein bar, something that you deem to be a healthy snack. And then at dinner with the family, you eat kind of a normal family-ish amounts, or maybe you have a significant other and you kind of cook whatever's around the house, and that ends up being 600 to 800 calories. Maybe after dinner, when you're unwinding on the couch, you have a glass of wine or a small snack, so that's another 200 to 300 calories. So typically, without the donuts, your average day is 1,500 to 1,900 calories. And that's on your normal days. But there are some days where you go out with coworkers, and instead of the chicken salad at the office, you go to a Mexican place down the street that has great guacamole. And you end up, before you know it, and actually without you knowing it, you probably have over 1,000 calories at lunch. Sometimes during the week, you don't feel like cooking when you get home, so you eat out. And when we eat out, there's often a lot more calories in the food than we realize. That's what the issue with processed foods are, is there's a lot more calories in the food than what it feels like when we eat it. So you might end up eating over 1,000 calories. So on good days, you have between 1,500 and 1,900 calories. But on other days, maybe two or three days a week when you eat out or you have lunch with friends, you might have 2,500 to 3,000 calories. Now, I have worked with people for over 20 years. I've been doing nutrition coaching for over 20 years. And I will tell you that that amount of difference is absolutely normal when you look at how people eat in this way. So when they do eat lunches that they're not paying attention to, when they do eat dinners they're not paying attention to, you can easily double your daily calories. So I have seen people have this type of caloric swing from day to day. From one small meal change or two small meal changes, they can go from 1,500 to 1,900 calories all the way up to 25 to 3,000 calories. But maybe on the weekends, you get pretty busy. Maybe you have some kids in some traveling sports. So you eat when you can, but it's always eating out. And sometimes you get some food, sometimes you don't get some food. So on those days, you actually maybe only consume 1,200 to 1,600 calories. But then on Sundays, it's kind of a more of a relaxing day. You love to take advantage of that, so you get up and you have a good full breakfast. You graze throughout the day, then you have a big family dinner. And that's nice. It's just nice to have that kind of day. But that day ends up being maybe 2,000 to 2,500 calories. So some weekdays, you have 1,500 to 1,900 calories. Some weekdays, you have 2,500 to 3,000 calories. Some Saturdays, you have only 1,200. But on normal Saturdays, you might eat up as high as 2,000. And then some Sundays, you have 2,000, but other Sundays, you're just not busy. I mean, you're not hungry. You're maybe a little more busy than you anticipated. Maybe you feel guilty from overeating on a Saturday. So maybe now you only have 1,000 calories. You have noticed that you haven't been losing weight. Your sleep is kind of so-so. You're active when you can be, and you're doing the best you can with, you know, how crazy busy you are. But you don't seem to be making any progress. It must be the donuts. It must be the processed food that we don't realize is the same as eating out when we eat at the Mexican place or we eat out at dinner. We don't think of those as processed foods. We think, well, if I'm not eating fast food, right? If it's not McDonald's, but it's a restaurant, it's not processed. And we often don't even think of those. We think of the donuts. So the donuts that we had on Tuesday afternoon, that's the problem. The donuts that we had one time in the last month, that's the problem, right? That's often the reality versus thought process that most people have. But really, what's happening is their caloric intake is inconsistent. You make good choices most often, but you also make some known, quote unquote, not good choices. You aren't tracking really anything you're doing, so the calories are very inconsistent and kind of a little bit crazy every day. You have no clue what your protein intake is. You know that you should avoid sugar, but you don't actually know how much sugar you consume in a day. Your regular day-to-day routine is not consistent. It's not sufficient, meaning you don't even have enough of what you should have some days. And it's not efficient, meaning it's not optimal. So it's not consistent, it's not sufficient, it's not efficient. but we tend to blame small, actually relatively insignificant details like the donuts or the creamer in your coffee. I have literally had people tell me that they believe they're overweight because they have creamer in their coffee. No. I mean, unless you're, you know, draining an entire cow into a cup of coffee, your creamer in your coffee is not the problem. Or they'll think, ah, it's processed foods. No. And that same reality versus thought process happens with the other statements. You know, the one statement, these five foods will lower your testosterone. it's probably not one of those five foods that you probably don't even eat on a regular basis. It's probably more so the fact that we don't pay attention to or optimize or control our sleep. We don't try to manage our stress levels. We're inconsistent with calories, with protein. Alcohol, if you consume alcohol, that's probably not helping your testosterone levels. Actually, that literally is not helping your testosterone levels. And maybe you don't do enough weighted resistance. Weighted resistance can actually improve testosterone. Maybe you train super hard, but your sleep is very inconsistent. Maybe your sleep is consistent, but you don't eat enough protein and your training doesn't have the proper intensity. There can be almost an infinite list of the mismanagement of basic factors that would contribute to low testosterone levels. But it's easier to say, avoid these five foods, which most of you probably aren't even eating two or three of the foods at all. So you get this sense of feeling already ahead of the problem. But that's not true. It's not reality. That's a fake reality that just makes you feel good. It's easier to think, let me avoid these five foods, two of which I'm already not eating, than it is to retrain a healthier and more consistent sleep pattern. Or to rearrange your schedule so you can weight train 2 to 3 times a week. Or reduce or give up alcohol. Rarely is specific food your problem. And that's the takeaway message I want from today's podcast. I would encourage you not to automatically blame a specific food or a food category until you've addressed larger issues. What are the larger issues? There are 6 really good categories that we should look into and we should optimize to the best of our abilities before we would blame a specific food choice. The 6 categories are sleep, stress management, calories, protein, timing, and alcohol. These are all factors that should be addressed and optimized before you would target and blame a specific food. These are 6 factors that would influence stalled progress towards any goal: fat loss, strength increase, muscle growth. Maybe you want better blood markers, more like longevity. You want to be just healthier. All of these factors, all 6 of these factors, would be significant factors, and they would actually play a larger role than specific food choices. Let's look at sleep. It's important and helpful to have a consistent bedtime and waking time. And then if you need to cut down on sleep in order to get special things done, you would want to get up earlier, not go to bed later. Try to be consistent with your bedtime and then vary your wake-up time if you need to. But the bedtime should be the thing that's consistent the most. We want to avoid caffeine at least 6 hours before bedtime. Alcohol negatively impacts sleep quality. We want to drink our fluids early and often throughout the day and try to kind of taper off fluid intake towards the end of the day, or at least consume your fluids slower as you get closer to bed. That way it reduces the need for you to have to get up and pee in the middle of the night. It would be ideal if we could be device-free for 30 to 60 minutes before bed. So rather than staring at a screen, whether it's your phone, your TV, your laptop, whatever it might be, try to journal. Maybe read a book. Maybe listen. That's actually something I'll often do if I have trouble falling asleep at my normal time. I'll put a podcast on my phone. I have a timer. The Audible has like a timer aspect. So I'll set the timer for 10 minutes or something. And I'll just listen as I lay there quietly with my eyes closed, and I'll almost always fall asleep before that timer goes off anyhow. But that takes away the visual component of having to stare at something. I just lay there, listen, and fall asleep. Next, we'd want to look at stress management. You want to know your priorities in life. That can reduce a lot of stress. So I've talked about this before, is to rank the people in your life and say, hey, if a decision came and I had to help this person or this person, then it was of an equal concern. So they both had the exact same problem at the exact same time and I can only help one of them. Do you know your ranking? That might seem kind of weird or creepy or wrong. You might not think that's politically correct. But often a lot of people have stress because they don't prioritize people. And what I mean by this is often you hear that phrase like, we hurt the ones we love the most. Oh, I hate that phrase. It's a horrible phrase. But I've seen it happen. And I know from owning the gym that it can very easily happen. We tend to be reactive when we don't plan ahead. And we tend to deal with what's in the present vicinity of our body when we don't plan ahead. So I might need to leave the gym at, say, 4:30 so I can meet my wife at 5. But say somebody comes to the gym right at 4:26, right as I'm starting to walk out the door, and they say, hey, can you show me around? My answer is no. I'm sorry. I can't do that right now. Here's my contact information. We'll schedule a time for later in the week. I give them my contact information. I usually have to tell them I need to go about 17 times before they shut the hell up. And then I move on and I get home to my wife. But I've seen that happen so many times that people will stay after work for a coworker. And the plans that they made with their significant other get thrown out the window. We do that all the time in so many situations, and that causes stress, not only for us, but for the people around us. It's helpful to know your options. If you want to work out in the morning or midday or after work, but all of a sudden something comes up and you can't do that, how can you still get a workout in? Can you go for a 10-minute walk at work? Can you do some bodyweight squats and push-ups at night before you go to bed? Know your options so you don't completely miss certain aspects that would cause stress. We want to be proactive, not reactive, during our days. So it's important to plan your day ahead. And it's important to communicate and connect with others. Share your journey, share your trouble, share your worries, so you don't feel alone. And that can help reduce stress. If you think about calories, protein, and timing refers to when you eat your calories and protein. We have an answer for that free on our website. You can go to www.brutalirongym.com. You can go to Free Nutrition Education. The first document on that page teaches you how to create your own nutrition program that teaches you how to select the right amount of calories, protein, and the timing that matches your needs. We're also starting group nutrition classes. So I've had a lot of requests for people by people to do virtual nutrition classes. So I'm going to go ahead and start doing that. You can learn more about that on the website. It's going to be $60 for a one-hour class. We're going to cap it at just 5 people at a time, and it'll be on Zoom. So I'll be teaching nutrition to 5 people at a time. We're going to have one class a month on fat loss, one class a month on lean muscle growth, and one class a month on strength and athletics. So if you're interested in that, it's only $60 for a whole hour. I'll stay and answer everything, you know, whatever people need. So it's going to be teaching the basics of how to set up a nutrition plan. I'll answer all your individualized personal questions. We're doing it in groups of 5 people, so that way you get to kind of learn from other people's situations and scenarios, but it's not so large that you don't get a voice. So again, if you want to learn more about that, you can go to our website. Then the last one was alcohol. You want to try to reduce and work to eliminate alcohol as a regular routine. When tempted to blame a specific food or a category of food, I would urge you to kind of step back for a second. Look at the bigger picture. Look at the bigger factors. And again, that's sleep, stress management, calories, protein, timing, and alcohol. There's often not a singular food item or food category that needs to be completely villainized and or blamed for all of your problems. Even processed foods, even alcohol, depending on your health status, depending on your long-term goals, you can still have them kind of recreationally and live a healthy life. I really, really, really urge you that although looking at the bigger picture items can be a bigger challenge to correct, I would urge you to look at those first, because any effort spent in those areas will actually make a difference. Whereas if you just try to villainize and completely avoid a specific food, that's likely not even the real cause of the problem, so it's likely not going to fix the problem. Hopefully today's podcast helped. Hopefully it gave you some ideas on what to do. If you need anything, go to our website. We have the free nutrition information on there. We have those group nutrition classes. If you need anything, you can always message me on the website as well. On the bottom of the homepage, we have a contact form. You can always shoot me an email and ask me any questions. So I hope the podcast was helpful. If you need anything, go to the website and reach out. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube underneath the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.